Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. And today I'm going to try something new. What I'm going to start trying to do with these podcasts is having basically like a weekly wrap-up of blog posts, kind of going over what I posted on the blog, making some further comments, kind of going into some of them in a little more detail perhaps, and answering some questions and stuff that people may have asked over in regards to them. So kind of see how that goes, maybe have some, you know, exclusive content in them as well. But I just kind of wanted to give this a shot. I've had a bunch of people say they really like the podcast, like being able to just pop them in and listen to them when it's convenient for them. So thought I might make it a little easier just to keep up on what we're going over on the blog and some of that great information and stuff like that. So get right into it. And basically, I'm going to do two of these this week because I wanted to do this one today to go over what I put on the blog last week, and then I'm going to do another one on Friday, and then basically every Friday I'm going to come out with a new podcast just going over what I went over during the week. So anyways, getting into it, I'm actually going to start on April 30th. I posted a blog post titled "A Great Hip Stretch for Mountain Biking," and the hip flexors are one of those areas that just get really overworked. We're always in this shortened position. When they get shortened, it starts to pull our pelvis out of whack, starts to inhibit our glutes, which leads to, you know, hamstring strains and lower back soreness and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, one of the most important things you can do for yourself as a mountain biker is stretch those hip flexors out as much as possible. So, in fact, one of the things I was thinking about yesterday when I was riding is kind of the yin and the yang of mountain biking, how, you know, to pedal, we need great hip strength, which part of strength is the ability to stabilize in an area to create movement, create force around that platform. But our technical skills on our bike require great hip mobility and basically staying balanced on your bike in pretty much all situations, up, down, or, you know, anywhere in between. It relies on how you're able to manipulate your hips in relation to the center of gravity of your bike in order to keep your balance. And so the better hip mobility you have, the easier you can, you know, move your hips around and get into different positions to counteract different things happening on the trail and with your bike, just the better your technical skills will be. So anyways, it's just kind of ironic, though, that pedaling actually tightens our hips up. And so the more that you pedal, realistically, the more it will actually take away from your technical skill potential. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons that making sure you're stretching those hip flexors out is so important, because it really will make a big impact on what kind of, you know, on how your riding's going and the technical skills and stuff like that. So anyway, so that's a really good stretch. If you didn't get a chance to check that out, make sure you do, and if you did, then make sure you're using it. After that, I'd gotten a great question on how to engage the hips more while pedaling, and something that I really talk about a lot with my programs is that we don't use the hips, particularly the glutes and hamstrings, you know, enough while we're pedaling, and so we're losing out on a lot of leg drive. And it actually, you know, creates imbalances in the lower body. So I had a question from somebody on my dumbbell combos program about this, you know, the hip forward or hip extended approach. And basically, one of the things that I try to get people to understand when they're doing, like, say, their deadlifts, that what you want to do is, you know, drive your hips back behind your heels as you come down, letting your chest come down towards the floor. But then when you come back up, you don't think about standing back up, because that'll tend to use that lower back and raise the shoulders first. What you do is you think about, you know, pushing the hips forward, like trying to push your butt back over your feet. And those hips sliding back over your feet are what actually brings your torso upright. And that's powering that movement with your hips versus trying to power it with your lower back and your quads. And so he just had a question about, you know, when I'm trying to apply this concept to pedaling my bike, you know, am I talking about something like a, you know, a posture you'd see out of a BMX or four cross race are coming out of the gate where they're, you know, basically straight up and their hips are shot forward towards their bar. And so he's wondering if that's, you know, if I was talking about trying to learn how to pedal your bike like that. And, you know, I basically explained to him that that's not exactly what I'm talking about, that even though that's the movement that we practice with our deadlift, that, you know, just getting the hips involved more on your pedaling. So what I told him is, like, you know, don't change your position on your bike. Just start thinking about, you know, squeezing your glutes and trying to extend through your heel, and you will automatically feel your pedal stroke get way more powerful. You'll feel your speed and power pick up immediately just by starting to get those hips in engaged more. But the problem is if you don't practice hip engagement in training in things like the deadlift, if you don't naturally have it, it's going to be very hard to find it on your bike. And so that's why training is so important. You know, it seems pretty simple, but, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, we're training things like the deadlift to teach you how to engage those muscles and make that mind-muscle connection so that when you get on your bike, you can better use those muscles when you're pedaling. And so that's kind of the idea there. That's how you can engage your hips more while pedaling is, you know, like I said, practice the deadlift, practice driving through your heels, squeezing your glutes, pushing the butt back over the feet as you come up to get the hips moving. And then when you get on your bike, think about, you know, using your glutes, squeezing your glute, and trying to drive down through your heel as well as just your forefoot, and you'll feel your hips engage a lot more while you're doing that. Automatic increase in power right there. After that, I made a post on how to make steps, and basically in some of my exercise videos, you've probably seen me use some wooden steps for jumps, or to raise my foot up on for the Bulgarian split squat, or, you know, things like that. And so steps are a great addition to a home gym, but they're one of those things that they're relatively expensive if you try to buy them. And so what I do is just show you how you can make some out of wood for, you know, pretty inexpensively. After that, I made a post on the deep squat dynamic flow for mountain biking. And basically, this is a routine that I adapted from Gray Cook's book, Athletic Body and Balance. And just noticed I actually misspelled Gray's name. It's G-R-A-Y, not G-R-E-Y. But anyways, his book, Athletic Body and Balance, is a great book, very influential book in my career. But this routine that I go over is basically adapted from that book. And what it does is it really attacks the movement issues that keep us from being able to get down into a deep squat position. And so I had one of my people on the Ultimate Interview Workout Program write me and ask me about lower back pain and stuff during the front squat. And so I actually posted this in response to his question, but it's just a really great routine for anybody that, you know, has problems getting down into a deep squat position. Like, basically, if you can't get your butt down almost to your heels, like your thighs below parallel, without just an amazing amount of rounding of the spine and just all sorts of, like, body English to try to keep your balance down there in that bottom position, then there's definitely something out of whack. And so, you know, doing this deep squat dynamic flow routine will help address those issues. It's also a really great warm-up routine for workouts that involve squatting and stuff like that. So definitely something to check out. And after that, I made a post. It's actually kind of a two-part post, and I'll get into it actually here in a second, because I made a post in between on working on a movement versus working out that movement. And basically what I talk about here is just kind of the idea of, if you have some sort of dysfunction with a movement, then you need to be working on that movement, trying to clean up that movement. And if you have a clean movement, everything's good, then that's when you want to be working out that movement and training it and trying to get it stronger or fitter, whatever the case may be for you know, your particular goals. But again, I see this a lot where people come into my facility and they have this mindset that if they don't work hard, like if there's not a lot of weight or sweat involved with the workout, then they're not making any gains. And nothing could be further from the truth because, you know, like I said before, you don't want to just lay fitness on top of dysfunction. And so if you have a dysfunction, you can't just keep going, you know, going to the gym and hammering on it and trying to train it and work it out. And so understanding that going in and working on cleaning up a movement is also, you know, part of training and is also going to lead to, you know, good results down the road. And so, and this is also a really important concept to keep in mind during, you know, during riding season, because again, a lot of riders will want to cut out training. And the reason that they do that is because they have that, if I'm not busting my ass mentality. And so, you know, they think that, man, if I go into the gym for it to do anything for me, I've got to be busting my butt. And, you know, I'm already kind of tired from riding and I don't want to get much sore and stuff like that. And so what they do is they end up cutting out training, when if they took the mindset of, you know, going in and just, you know, trying to work on maintaining clean movement and you know, things like that, rather than going in and trying to, you know, just hammer themselves, then you understand that you start to see how training can help you out during the season rather than actually hinder you. And that's kind of where most riders come at it from. And so, again, just something to think about, you know, working on cleaning up a movement versus, you know, working out that movement or exercise and trying to get it fitter. And so this kind of leads me into my my last post, actually two-part post, and it basically it's how much more do I need to ride while training for mountain biking? And this is a question I get a lot, especially with my Ultimate MTB workout program, because I don't have a distance or volume-based workout in there. And I think a lot of people are looking for that, where I'm telling you to go out and ride, you know, 3 days a week at, you know, this many miles and stuff like that. And so the reason for that is twofold. You know, one, I design my programs, again, coming at it from the mindset of minimal time, maximum results. I'm trying to get you in and out of the gym and training in general as quickly as possible so you can have more time to get out on the trail and enjoy that fitness or do other things with your family or if, you know, you got busy at work, stuff like that. So, you know, while you can certainly add some stuff in, you got to remember where I'm coming at my training program from. And so I'm looking at the most efficient use of your time. And I'm sorry, I know this is one of those things that's going to take a really long time to sink into, you know, into endurance athletes, you know, training mindset, but aerobic, anaerobic interval training increases aerobic fitness faster and more effectively than aerobic training does. And I know on the surface it makes no sense. I've got a whole podcast that goes into this. I'm not going to get into it a whole lot more, but, you know, this isn't just opinion anymore. There are studies that actually prove this, that, you know, if you want to get aerobically fit as quickly as possible, you don't do aerobics, you do interval training. And so the interval training that I provide, you know, addresses that cardio concept. So, and now the second part of this is I really do believe that most riders ride enough already. And you know, this is why this became a two-part post, because I've got a really good friend of mine, you know, Josh, we call him Bama Slamma because he loves the Bama and Slamma down the trail. But anyways, really good friend of mine. I love talking with him because he really represents the average mountain biker. You know, he loves to ride. He's not that into training. You know, he's really into, you know, all these other aspects of riding, but, you know, trying to explain to him how training is going to help him on his bike does a really good job in helping, I think, in preparing me and trying to explain this stuff to you. So, in talking with him after he read my post, you know, he kind of just took the point, like, man, you're never going to convince me that riding my bike is not the best thing that I can do, that, you know, if I have a chance, I want to go ride my bike. And I understand that, but again, you know, where I'm coming at this from is from the rider who's really consciously trying to improve himself on the trail. And so if you're getting out for 2 to 3 rides a week and you're logging, you know, like 3 to 5 or 6 hours on the trail already, then, you know, what point is the point of diminishing returns? Because obviously riding your bike is the most important thing that you can do as a mountain biker. And I don't want anyone to ever confuse me saying that, you know, doing strength and conditioning training is important to mountain biking and saying that, you know, all you can do is just strength and conditioning and you're going to be the best mountain biker possible. That's not true. You need to ride and you need to put in a decent amount of trail time in order to be a good mountain biker. What I'm saying is that, you know, where is that point of diminishing returns? Where does adding another hour of riding not give you better performance gains on the trail than adding an hour of strength and conditioning? And there is a point where that happens, you know. And so what happens is I think people look back and they remember when they first started riding and they rode a lot and they got fitter and their skills got better. And so, you know, they're like, man, you know, I've experienced it myself that riding my bike will make me better. And that's true. But what I'm trying to point out with this how much more do I need to ride is when you've made a conscious decision to try and improve your riding through a targeted training program, then personally I don't believe that you should consider if you're logging, you know, around 6 hours of trail time a week, then you need to be getting about 2 to 3 hours of strength and conditioning, and that's including, you know, your core training, your strength training, your mobility, full motor work. Like, you need to be doing at least, you know, 2 to 3 hours of that a week before you start thinking about adding in more riding from a training perspective. So again, you know, I'm talking about if we're talking about training, and you know, if all you want to do is ride, then that's great, you know. But as I pointed out to my buddy Josh, you know, when he was riding twice a day, you know, 3 times a week and getting out for one ride a couple more days a week, so the guy was getting out, you know, 5+ days a week, getting out twice a day on a couple days. And yet when we went and rode, he didn't kick my butt. You know, there was definitely some rides where he was in front of me, but he wasn't killing me. And that's the thing, like, you know, if riding is actually all you need to do, then how come when people ride, you know, 2, 3, 4 times as much as I do, are they not able to just kick my butt on the trail? And again, you know, I'm not, again, this isn't like, oh, James, you're some great rider. It's just, I'm just saying that training helps. If you have limited training time, if you don't have all the time in the world to ride and train, you know, how much more riding do you really need to put in? I would be willing to say that you're probably putting in enough already and that you really need to start looking at those other aspects that you can that you can train. So that's where strength and conditioning and mobility and things like that come in. So anyways, I kind of hope that makes a little more sense, that, you know, I'm already acknowledging, saying that you're already putting in, you know, like 6 hours of riding a week. You know, how many more hours of riding a week do you need to put in, you know, realistically? And again, this is for the average mountain biker. You know, I always get those, you know, the endurance athlete, you know, like the guys that ride 100-mile races or the multi-day stage racers or stuff like that. Obviously, you guys are in a different category. But for your average cross-country rider on down, so cross-country, Super D, you know, trail rider, free rider, downhill or four cross rider, you know, that you know, genre of mountain biker, you know, realistically, I don't think that you quote unquote need much more than that, you know, as far as getting out, you know, a couple times a week and logging up to 6 hours a week. And so, so that's it from a training standpoint. You know, more is not always better. Better is better. And a better mountain bike strength training program or training program involves all aspects of training, not just one. And so, so that was kind of the idea behind that post. Sorry, I kind of rambled a little bit there on that explanation there. but just kind of wanted to touch on a few things there and just reiterate, you know, I'm certainly not saying you don't need to ride more or don't, you know, you shouldn't ride more than that. I'm just saying that from a performance standpoint and trying to get better on your bike and better on the trail, that at a certain point, adding in the strength and conditioning will make you a better rider than adding in another hour of riding. And so that's pretty much it. You know, it just strikes me funny that we're one of the only sports in the world left that thinks that the way that you get better at your sport is by actually playing your sport. You know, I mean, you look at any other sport out there, you know, football players do not get better at playing football by playing football. You know, they work on drills, they work on technical skills, they go to the gym. You know, there's a lot more involved with getting ready for, you know, the football game on Sunday than going out 5 days a week and playing a game of football. Same with basketball, same with golf, same with baseball. I mean, you name it, and mountain biking and cycling in general is one of the only sports left in the world clinging to that mindset of I need to do more of my sport in order to get better. And it, you know, they're just realizing there's a point of diminishing returns with that. So anyway, so that's pretty much it with that. Gives you an overview of some of the stuff that I posted last week, and next week I'm gonna, you know, post a few more, or this week, today's Monday, I'm gonna post a few more things, and then do another podcast review on Friday. So let me know what you guys think about this new format here. If you have any questions or comments on anything I went over here, you know, head on over to Bike James and you can find the post and post your question or comment in the comment section. I'll get back to you as quickly as I can. But anyway, so that's about it. Hope you guys have a good week, and I will talk to you on Friday.